Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine-Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. A Minute to Think by Juliet Funt is a business and productivity book that argues modern work has become crowded with constant communication, meetings, and low-value tasks that leave little room for the thinking that drives real results. Building on Funt's background as a speaker and consultant on workplace effectiveness, the book reframes productivity as creating space rather than doing more. It introduces the idea of a strategically designed pause, short moments of protected quiet that help people process information, solve problems, and make better decisions. Instead of treating white space as wasted time, Funt positions it as the fuel for creativity, clarity, and high-quality execution. The book speaks to individuals who feel perpetually behind and to leaders who want teams that are more focused, calmer, and more innovative. Practical guidance is paired with workplace examples and organizational insights, aiming to help readers reduce noise, cut unnecessary work, and build habits and norms that protect deep thinking in a busy world. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, white space as a performance advantage. A central theme is that the most valuable work often requires time that looks empty on a calendar. The book treats white space as deliberate room between tasks where your mind can synthesize, prioritize, and generate ideas. Rather than viewing busyness as a proxy for importance, it challenges the assumption that constant activity equals productivity. White space supports better judgment, because decisions improve when there is time to consider trade-offs, gather context, and notice risks. It also supports creativity, because insights tend to emerge when the brain can wander and connect disparate inputs. The argument extends beyond personal well-being into measurable organizational outcomes: clearer plans, fewer rework cycles, higher quality output, and less reactive behavior. By naming and legitimizing white space, the book gives readers language to defend it in cultures that reward responsiveness. It also reframes small pauses as strategic, showing that even short intervals can reduce cognitive overload and improve follow-through. The topic sets up the idea that reclaiming time is not indulgent. It is an essential prerequisite for doing your best work consistently. Secondly, the cost of constant input and the myth of multitasking. The book emphasizes how modern work floods people with inputs, email, chat, notifications, meetings, and rapid context switching. It highlights the hidden costs of living in this stream, including fragmented attention, shallow thinking, and the sense that you are always catching up. Multitasking is treated as a productivity illusion because switching between tasks creates time loss and quality loss, even when it feels efficient. The constant demand to respond can also create a reactive posture where urgent messages displace important priorities. Over time, this erodes confidence and creativity because there is little chance to reflect, learn, or refine ideas. The topic also addresses the emotional toll, the background stress of unread messages, the pressure to appear available, and the fatigue that comes from never fully completing anything. By making these costs explicit, the book equips readers to recognize that many common workplace norms are not neutral, they are design choices with consequences. This diagnosis becomes the rationale for building boundaries, simplifying communication patterns, and protecting uninterrupted work blocks so that attention can return to higher value tasks. Thirdly, using a minute to think, micro pauses that reset quality. A practical contribution of the book is the idea that meaningful change does not always require long retreats or dramatic schedule overhauls. It encourages readers to insert brief pauses before, during, and after key moments of work. A minute to think can mean taking a breath before replying to a message, reviewing the true goal before starting a task, or stepping back after a meeting to capture decisions and next steps. These micro pauses can prevent avoidable mistakes, reduce miscommunication, and improve the clarity of what you produce. They also help people act with intention rather than habit, which is crucial when workloads are heavy. The book presents these pauses as a skill that can be trained, noticing when you are rushing, choosing to slow down slightly, and creating tiny rituals that restore focus. It also implies that many common problems in workplaces, such as unclear emails, unfocused meetings, and rushed decisions, are not caused by lack of talent, but by lack of thinking time. This topic turns an abstract ideal into an actionable practice that can fit into almost any role. Fourthly, reducing low-value work and reclaiming time. Another key topic is identifying and shrinking the work that consumes time without producing proportional value. The book encourages readers to question default behaviors such as copying large email lists, holding meetings without a clear purpose, and creating excessive documentation that no one uses. It promotes a more disciplined approach to commitments: fewer but better meetings, clearer agendas, and better decisions about what truly needs collaboration. It also supports simplifying workflows, setting expectations about response times, and reducing unnecessary perfectionism in low-impact tasks. This is not framed as cutting corners, but as redirecting energy to the work that matters most. A major idea is that time is often lost in small increments through unexamined norms. When those norms are redesigned, individuals regain focus and teams regain capacity. The topic also speaks to the courage required to change patterns in environments that equate visibility with value. By giving permission to challenge busy work, the book helps readers advocate for smarter operating rhythms. The result is a more sustainable way of working where output improves because attention is invested in the highest leverage activities. Lastly, leadership and culture, making thinking time normal. The book does not treat white space as only an individual habit. It also frames it as a cultural and leadership responsibility. Teams adopt the behaviors leaders model and reward, so if leaders glorify constant availability and packed calendars, thinking time becomes risky to claim. This topic explores how to build an environment where focused work and reflection are legitimate. That can include setting norms around meeting length and frequency, protecting blocks of uninterrupted time, and establishing communication guidelines that reduce pressure to respond instantly. It also involves defining what good looks like, outcomes, decisions, and quality, not just speed and volume. Leaders can encourage better thinking by asking sharper questions, allowing silence in discussions, and designing processes that include time to reflect before committing. The topic connects white space to psychological safety, because people are more willing to propose new ideas when they are not constantly rushed and judged for every minute. By framing white space as a shared system rather than a personal privilege, the book provides a pathway to sustain change. It helps readers see that the best work emerges when organizations protect the conditions that allow people to think. In conclusion, this book is best for professionals who feel overwhelmed by nonstop communication, leaders who want better execution and innovation, and creatives or knowledge workers whose results depend on clarity and original thinking. It will also appeal to anyone who suspects that working harder is no longer the answer, but is unsure how to change habits without falling behind. The benefit is practical and personal. Reclaiming small and large pockets of time can reduce stress, improve decision quality, and make room for the kind of deep work that builds a career. Readers gain language and frameworks to identify where attention is being drained, plus strategies to redesign meetings, messaging, and personal routines so that thinking becomes a daily practice. Compared with many productivity books that focus on squeezing more tasks into the day, A Minute to Think stands out by prioritizing space, reflection, and the upstream choices that prevent overload in the first place. Its focus on workplace norms and leadership makes it useful beyond individual self-help. For readers ready to trade busyness for better work, it is a worthwhile purchase. If you would like to support Juliet Funt, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.